As a brief introduction, Yongten Rinpoche was born in Kham, Tibet in 1978. He was recognized as the reincarnation of the previous Yongten Rinpoche at the age of 10 and was enthroned at Khadzen Monastery. After living in Tibet under the Chinese rule for 12 years, he left his homeland for India in pursuit of traditional Tibetan monastic education in South India. In 1990, at the unusual young age of 12, he entered the Geshe program at Sarame Monastery, carrying out the study of traditional Buddhist texts on philosophy, logic, epistemology, Buddhist metaphysics and cosmology, Abhidhamma, and monastic code of conduct, Vinaya, and graduated with a Geshe Larampa degree with distinction in 2007, aged only 29. After graduation, Rinpoche joined Gyoto Monastery for 2 years and completed the traditional tantric studies there. During his time at Gyoto Monastery, Rinpoche helped His Holiness the Karmapa as a debate assistant. In 2008, Rinpoche was called up by His Holiness the Dalai Lama to work in His Holiness's private office and has assisted His Holiness on many projects, including being selected to compile a book on Buddhist science from Kangyur and Tengyur. And I'm sorry if I mispronounced any of those words, I'm sure I did. But Rinpoche, we are so, so honored to have the chance to speak with you, truly. And a brief note on translation from Venerable Dhamcho.
所以Rinpoche刚才他们就是简短的描述了您生平的简介，那开始我也想从我们道场这里跟Rinpoche表示我们的抱歉，就是这一场无法提供藏音的翻译，但是就是Rinpoche的大慈悲自己学了华语，然后肯在这场的这个法坛透过华语跟我们交流，不然是不可能会进行，所以真的是非常的抱歉，非常的惭愧，也是非常的感恩，那我简短的跟西方人讲一下。 So I just apologized on behalf of our monastery that we can't provide Tibetan to English translation, but Rinpoche, out of great compassion, learned Chinese on his own and is willing to offer this session in Chinese. Otherwise, it would not be possible. So we are both, my apologies and also deeply grateful to Rinpoche for offering this session in Chinese.
Venerable, just to start, could you describe the education of monastics in your lineage and what it means to get a Geshe Larampa degree with distinction?
首先，谢谢两位，谢谢法师，谢谢法师民，谢谢法友们，很高兴在这里能遇见到你们。而且呢，这次我们聚集的这里的目的或者是原因是，就为了要讲佛法。 所以说呢，我们为了佛法而在这里聚集的，所以说呢，这个是很值得高兴的，一个可以说是大的事情吧，大的好事。
So first, I would like to very much thank the Abbot's Venerable Chidren and these two monastics for inviting me to offer this session, and also to all the Dharma friends who are gathered here. The very purpose of our gathering is to share the Buddha Dharma, and that is a very, very precious purpose and opportunity, and it's something that is worth rejoicing in. It is of great value.
在西藏来说，学佛法的那个系统是，本质上是。 大概是一样的，特别是学那个大经的、佛经的，学五部大论的那些大的寺庙来说的话，是一样的，一样的一个系统体制。
So across the Tibetan tradition, the basic education can be said to be the same across all the different Buddhist schools within the Tibetan tradition. We study what are called the five great treatises, and that is the fundamental education that the Tibetan Buddhist monastics receive.
藏传的佛教是主要是就是从印度过来的。 到了西藏之后呢，当然也受到了西藏本地的，就是原本的宗教的有些习惯，佛教徒能接受的都接受了，但是呢，学习佛法的时候呢，就是主要讲的是两个部分，一个是学，一个是修，就是龙吉丹巴当杜贝丹巴，就是学修。必须要双修，学的时候也要修，修的时候也要学，要合在并在一起的，这是都很讲究的一个基本的一个学法。
So the Buddha Dharma was transmitted to Tibet from India, and of course it was influenced by Tibetan culture and customs, and whatever could be transmitted and assimilated in terms of the Buddha Dharma was transmitted to Tibet. And in terms of the Tibetan lineage, there are two main aspects to it. We talk about the transmission of the scriptural teachings, the scriptural transmission, and the transmission of the realized teachings, the realized transmission. And so this is...to emphasize that we not only need to study, you also need to meditate and gain those realizations. And these two processes happen hand in hand. So you study and then you meditate to generate those realizations. And then based on this, those realizations you generate, you further deepen your study.
就是说，也可以说是，学修，并在一起，双修，或者是闻思修。这三个是特别讲究的，在西藏，不仅是西藏，我觉得，整个佛教徒，都很重视闻思修吧，因为呢，只闻到了，只是听到了而已，你去听到了某某的新的学位而已，对自己，对自己的，可以说是烦恼吧。或者是为什么要学佛法呢？学佛法的目标是，治好自己的烦恼，情绪，或者是我们追求的是学了佛法，我们必须要一个目标，追求快乐，追求更好的一个境界。那只有闻能做到，知能治好，能降降伏降伏。我们的心态吗？不可能的。所以说呢，闻了之后，或者是闻，同时也需要思考。只思考，你通达了真相，了解了真相，还够吗？不够，必须要习惯串习。串习了之后，才能改变自己的状态。
So.It's important to have both study and practice. They go hand in hand, or almost you could say they have to be practiced in union. But we also have to, another way to look at the process of practice is through that of hearing, thinking, hearing contemplation and meditation. And that's not unique just to Tibetan Buddhism, that applies across all Buddhist traditions. Because if we just hear someone else's insights, how does that actually help us in our own practice in terms of overcoming our own afflictions? Because we have to be very clear about our purpose in practicing the Buddha Dharma. It is to overcome our afflictions and to transform our minds. That's why the Buddha taught the Buddha Dharma. And so it is through the process of hearing, contemplation, and meditation that becomes possible. We hear about all the different antidotes and we apply them to our afflictions, and that can... but just hearing about it is not going to tame our afflictions, right? We actually have to take time to contemplate, to understand the nature of reality,And even with that understanding, that's not enough. We have to become familiarized with the right view, and that entails meditation. So over a long period of practice and meditation, that's how we not only eliminate the afflictions, but also come to be familiar with the nature of reality, and transform our minds completely and heal from the afflictions.
就是一般的基本的学佛法的体制是这样的，但是呢，详细的进一步的去看的话，各个法师的不同的方法，这也是有的，但是呢，体制上是就是这样的。再加上，我们要知道西藏的那学法的方法的时候呢，我们要注意的。一件事是西藏 不仅是怎么说戒律的那个部分对对对不仅是 戒律的律典嘛律经嘛
对典呢是经典
经典
经典的律是
律律
读啊
就是不仅是戒律的部分再加上还有菩萨乘的那个部分不仅是三藏的这个部分再请了密宗的那些法所以说呢从印度请过来的法当中呢不仅是三藏不仅是三乘提婆颂再请了四序所以说呢这个是从印度弘扬佛法的地区不同的地区来看的话我觉得西藏比较有点不同的虽然汉地也有密宗但是呢没有西藏那样密宗很怎么说普遍的样子密宗当中呢在西藏弘扬的或者是发展的可以说发展吗弘扬的密宗来说的话就是世部行部一切就是瑜伽部无上密宗等等就是好像是可以说是可以说是很广的更圆满的样子
So what I just described was kind of the basic aspect of Buddhist education that applies to different traditions. And of course, every teacher might have their own specific methods or emphasis. But what you should know is unique about the Tibetan tradition is that it was not only the Vinaya that was transmitted from India and not just the three baskets, so the sutra teachings and the Abhidharma, but also the tantras were transmitted to Tibet and the four types of tantras, so we have the action, performance, yoga, and highest yoga tantras were transmitted in the greatest extent and practiced and propagated very extensively and fully. So of course, tantra was also transmitted to China, but there it was not as popular, and so it was not kind of propagated and preserved in such an extensive way. That is something unique to Tibetan Buddhism.
所以说呢，在宗大师的解释来说的话，就是三藏、三乘这些是可以称为是显宗，四序是密宗的。那密宗也不可以离开显宗的。比如说显宗的主要的内容是。菩提心还有呢就是空正见我的观点再说处理心这些是显宗的心要就是怎么说重点吧可以说就是心脏一样这也是佛法的心脏一样有了这三点的话再去修密宗的话密宗才有轮回才有才有能力可以这么说反正是才有就是活力吧可以这么我是随便说的才有它的效果假如离开了菩提心特别是菩提心特别是空中见离开了这两点法的话虽然它的本身是佛教的密宗但是无法变成佛教的密宗离开了这两点的话它不是佛教的密宗它就变成了很奇怪的一个密宗吧所以说呢这就是人体来说的话就是心脏一样密宗是就是入体一样有了心脏就是流血这个功能的话入体才可以动起来才可以有怎么说功能的所以说呢显宗是就是基础不仅是基础也是重点
So, like Lama Tsongkhapa has explained, the three vehicles, the hearer, solitary realizer, and the bodhisattva vehicles that map onto the three baskets, that is what are called the explicit teachings. And then with the tantras, the four lineages of tantra, and then also what we call the Vajrayana, those are called the esoteric teachings. And the two are you know, the explicit teachings are not divorced from each other. The explicit teachings are extremely important. They are the basic foundation upon which you practice the esoteric teachings. The explicit teachings emphasize the renunciation, the generation of bodhicitta, realizing the right view of emptiness, and that is like the essence of the heart of the Buddha Dharma. Without it, you cannot achieve what is taught in the Vajrayana or the, you know, the tantric vehicle. Yeah, it's on that basis that the tantric vehicle will actually achieve the desired results. Without bodhicitta and without the right view of emptiness, then it is not a Buddhist tantra. Whatever, you know, tantric practices you do, if they are separate from bodhicitta and the right view of emptiness, it's some weird thing, but it's not Buddhist tantra. It's not what the Buddha taught. So it's essential that you understand that it's like a body. You could say that the Vajra vehicle is like the external human body, and the explicit teachings are like your heart. So without the heart that's pumping blood, that is taking, you know, all the blood to the rest of the body will not function. So the main focus is still on the explicit teachings.
所以说呢，四圣地总大师说，它就是佛法的精华。对。
So that's why Lama Tsongkhapa said that the four truths for the Aryas are the very essence of the Buddha Dharma.
那学这些佛法的时候呢，就是背手，就是老师教学生让他背诵，就是根本论。经典，佛经，然后呢，就是照佛经，把它当作根本，然后呢，搭配着用经典来，就是教学生知道吗？或者是一句一句的，可以这么说吗？解释，同时刚刚说的那样。背诵是很重要的，在藏传的佛学习佛法的系统当中，然后呢，解说就是搭配着很多书来一起来搭配着教书，学生也去照上师的那些教法去学，然后呢思，然后呢就是串习，就这样学的。
So memorization is an extremely important aspect of Tibetan Buddhist pedagogy. So how, in terms of pedagogical methods, how it works is that the students first begin by memorizing a root text, often drawn from sutras, but there are a lot of commentaries that the teacher then draws upon to help you to unpack the meanings of these very terse sutra verses or commentarial verses. So you spend a lot of time in memorization, studying the commentaries, and then through the process of hearing, thinking, and meditating, you become very familiar with these teachings. Yep. And so that's the process of education in the Tibetan tradition.
Gisi Harampa 的意思是就可以说可以这样理解的，就是所有五部大论的内容学好之后呢，他可以拿到Gisi Harampa的学位。五部大论是他指的不只是就是仅仅是五个不同的书或者是书典，不是那样的。其实整个甘卓丹卓都包含在五部大论里面的。我们在甘卓做区分的时候，或者是丹卓区分的时候呢，就分成分为五部大论的。整个佛经与整个佛经的解说的那些论点都包含在五部大论里面的。五部大论是不是指的是一本书一两本书，它指的是不同的体制嘛，或者是不同的部分，大的部分。比如说中观里面的整个般若波罗蜜多经，整个般若波罗蜜多经都包含在中观里面。还有呢，就是说帕心指的就是相关庄严论的。它是般若波罗蜜多经，它的内容的就是心经与般若波罗蜜多经，它们主要讲的是空性的，但是它的背后
这个含内涵
内涵 他的是直接讲的是字面的意思，就是空性的。字面的那个背后的意思就是道的那些道次第的内容。所以说呢，这个内容把取出来的论点是就是相关庄严论。相关庄严论它也是很大的一个底层，很大的一个部分吧，底层级。所以说呢，在单主里面，相关庄严论为主的论点特别多的，特别多，很多很多，很多含的。那唯识的部分，佛经里面的很多都是很多部分是属于唯识的，单主里面也是唯识的，属于唯识的数也是挺多的。还有呢，乌玛揭、心藏揭，我们平常说是就是怎么说，牛啊，就是牛净藏的部分，绿藏的部分，还有呢经典的部分，还有呢就是三藏的最后智慧的部分，怎么说？
说阿毗达吗？
阿毗达玛吗？阿毗达玛不是？
阿毗达玛，
阿毗达玛也可以这么说吧？问吧，对，阿毗达玛的部分也是很多的一个部分的。所以说呢，总之来说的话，甘卓、丹卓的所有的内容就包含在五部大论里面的。学通了五部大论的话，等于是学通了整个佛经，整个显宗的佛经，整个学通了整个丹卓里面的显宗的部分的论点。
So how do you attain a Geshe Larampa degree? You have to master the content of the five great treatises. And when we're talking about five great treatises, we're not talking about like five separate books. These are actually like whole like systems of thought that encompass the entire content of what in Tibetan we call the Kangyur and the Tengyur, the spoken word of the Buddha and all the treatises by the Indian masters. So for example, if you look at studying the middle way view, that the treatises there encompass the entire meaning of the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutras.And then they also, we also study, there are a lot of treatises on, right, so the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutras teach emptiness explicitly, but implicitly it's teaching all the paths and grounds of the bodhisattvas that you need to practice to gain the right view of emptiness. So that is covered by Maitreya's Ornament of Clear Realizations.Yeah, so you have middle way, then you have ornament of clear realizations. And that, again, is an extensive treatise upon which numerous sub-commentaries have been written, and they are all found in the Tengyur, the Indian treatises. And then there are also numerous treatises on the mind-only view, so that's what's studied as well. And we also study the Vinaya, and then also we study the Abhidharma.So you could say that by studying the five great treatises, you actually come to master the entire content of what the Buddha taught and also all the subsequent commentaries by the great Indian masters.
刚刚想说的就是般若波罗蜜多经的字面的意思就是空性吧，它隐藏的内容就是相关庄严论的那些内容。
Yeah, so I just want to emphasize that, yes, the explicit meaning of the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutras is the right view of emptiness, but the implicit teaching there is on the paths and grounds of bodhisattvas, which is covered by the ornament of clear realizations.
那格西阿难巴是简单来说的话，以现代的学位的方式来说的话，等于是佛教界的博士。
So I guess if you want to draw a modern equivalent, the Geshe Larampa degree might be equivalent to like a modern academic degree that's a doctorate in philosophy, right? A PhD. Yeah.
在西藏的传统的学位来说的话，没有比这个更高的一个学位，就是显宗的部分来说，没有比这个更高的学位的。
So in terms of the study of the explicit teachings in the Tibetan Buddhist monastic system, there is no higher kind of academic achievement than the Geshe Larampa degree.
简单的说。
That's a brief explanation.
Thank you so much, Rinpoche. Just out of curiosity, what's the average length of time one would take to get a Geshe degree?
要得到格西的学位大概要花多少年的时间
一般来说 23年左右。
About 23 years.
因为呢，有些寺庙的那个，怎么说，这个班级，有些班级稍微规划的有点不同，所以说呢，有些寺庙是25年，有些寺庙是最起码是23年左右吧。最后是学好了五部大论之后呢，在格鲁派的传统来说的话，以现在的情况来说的话，必须要通过格鲁大学的6年的那个大考试。
So it really depends on the monastery as well. So 23 is like the basic requirement, but different monasteries might divide their classes in different ways. So it could take up to 25, 24 years, depending. And usually after mastering the 5 great treatises, in the present day Gelugpa system, you also have to spend 6 years doing like a great exam, a big exam at the Gelugpa University in order to attain the final Geshe Larampa degree.
比如说第六年的大考试之中的第一年的那个大考来说的话，其中要考的不同的那些学科吧，可以说学科吗？要写下来的考试，是这么说？
对，就是考试啊。
考试不是要写，也不同的几个考试，有些是辩论的。有些是怎么说写下来的，怎么说？
没有专用的名词。
哦，好，那就可以了。那个要写的考试是好像，五部大论有5个，五部大论也分成两个部分，上下级的，各个部分上层的部分5个，其中也有也有好分成不同的。几个要写的考试，总共来说7-8个吧，再加上这些藏文的那个语法，就是不同的语法，还有呢就是佛法的那个历史的考试，还有呢就是写佛法的有关佛法的思的那个部分，最近呢再加上了。科学，尤其科学的部分，所以说呢，要写的就是10几个左右。那辩论来说，必须要考到5个五部大论的，5个辩论的考试。
所以这样，这是第一年还是这是
第一年？第一年的时候，
第一年
总共有15、16、17左右的一个考试，不同的考试。
So this is a 6-year examination process, and Rinpoche just described the first year, there might maybe like 15 to 16 different subjects you're tested on. So there are written examinations on the content of the 5 great treatises, there are examinations on like Tibetan grammar, expression, you have to Buddhist poetry, also on Buddhist history in Tibet, and now an additional subject that has been added is science, so there's an examination on that. And so those are just the written examinations, and then there's also an oral debate examination where you debate the content of the 5 great treatises. And so that's the first year of the 6-year exam process. Right, so and he said too, the treatises are divided into like upper and lower aspects of the treatises, and then there are like multiple exams on each part of the 5 treatises.
Yeah. That's impressive. And
非常不得了.
Many of much of what you've talked about circles around this concept of emptiness, which in the Theravada is something we talk about a bit, but in different ways.How is emptiness seen in the Tibetan tradition, and how can a practitioner discern an authentic experience of emptiness from something that's just intellectual or kind of self-created? What's the hallmark of an authentic experience of emptiness?
所
以刚才Rinpoche有谈到整个在学习佛法，特别是在藏系，就是有强调培养空见，正见，对吗？空性正见。那在巴利系统也有，当然也有谈到空性正见。但是想要了解一下，在藏系是怎么了解空性正见，而特别是你怎么知道你已经真正的了悟到空性正见，而不是你自己在心里 以分别心的妄想的、所制造的那种想法。
我们为什么要学空中见，或者是佛为什么要讲空呢？因为我们所有的人，一般的所有的人都被执着或者是都被烦恼控制了，因此我们很痛苦，一切的我们的痛苦或者是人造的所有的痛苦，可以说是因为我们有了这样的一个人生而接着来的那些所有的痛苦，这些都是因为有了这一世，因为有了这样的一个肉体吧，或者是投胎才开始有的。所以说呢，这些都是因为无明，就是这我所谓的我执着为就实有的，或者是我执吧，简单来说，我执，因为我执而导致的。所以说呢，给我们带来痛苦的、困难的，就是最底层的、最深处的，根本的因就是我执着、我执。所以说呢，想要解决这些困难的话，必须要解决根本的那些困难，可以说吗？就是根本的那个基础要解决，没有解决好这些问题的话，无法解决别的任何的痛苦。所以说呢，佛为什么要讲空呢？因为想要解决，或者是想要消灭吧，消灭可以说吗？消除或者是断掉痛苦，所以说呢讲无我的，请先放一下。
So why did the Buddha teach on emptiness? It's because our suffering arises on the basis of our grasping at a self and all the afflictions. It's because of the grasping at a self and afflictions that control us that we have taken this polluted rebirth. And on the basis of this kind of rebirth, we experience all kinds of sufferings. So if we trace back to the original cause, this constant grasping at a self that inherently exists, right? Thinking I. It's on that basis that the afflictions arise and then lead to tremendous suffering. So it's because of the Buddha's wish to help us to completely eliminate this suffering that he taught on emptiness and the view of non-self. If we do not get at the problem at its root, then there's no way to completely eliminate our suffering.
所以呢，实际上佛说我是不存在的。就是去我们以为是我是能指出来的，能进一步的去在我们的五蕴当中，或者是我们的这个肉体之中进一步去寻找去查的时候呢，我们认为是他能指出来的样子，佛说无法指出来，就是一个我的点，这个点是不存在的，这样的话就能破我执的，就我是只是显现而已，以为名为眼而已，实际上是不存在。能证悟的这一点的话，能解决一切痛苦的根本的问题。
So the Buddha taught then that there is no inherently existent self. There is no self that you can identify or find among the aggregates. Like if you look deeper into the body, you're going to find something that is this self, right? That you can point to, something that is found in the aggregates. There is just no such self. And upon understanding that, then that helps us to eliminate all the kind of wrong views and suffering that is built upon such a view of grasping at an inherently existent self. We come to understand that this self is but an appearance that is merely designated, but does not inherently exist.
所以说呢，在藏传的系统当中，我是就那么重视的，原因就是上面所说的那样。但是刚刚我们提到了无我，就是无我的内容是大概是那样，也许从今天往上吧开始讲，我们 菩提心事的时候呢，就会提到有关无我的这些解说的。
So that's the primary reason why the Buddha taught on the selflessness of the person or non-self, as I've mentioned before, to help us to completely eliminate our suffering. But that could be said just to be a brief explanation of the Tibetan view of the emptiness of the self. Tonight, we're going to start teachings on the Bodhicitta Vivarana, the commentary on the Awakening Mind by Nagarjuna. And that's going to be a good time for me to go deeper into an explanation of the view of emptiness in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition.
刚刚法师提问的问题，的问题还有另外一个问题吗？没有吧
？Was there another question raised？
刚刚提问的那个内容当中。
About emptiness.
刚刚。
哦 ，How do you know？ 对对，是怎么知道你已经真正的了知？
对对对，
了知了。
这是宗大师讲得很清楚。假如你假如你真正的越了解。空性无我，或者是你的你的想法越接近无我的表现或者证照有什么呢？只是自以为是了解的吗？还是你真正的接近了空性，或者是怎么说更了解更懂空性的内容的吗？这个要看什么呢？这个要看，假如我们的烦恼。越来越减少，越来越虚弱。之前贪心比较大，就是还有呢，傲慢心也比较大，等等的，就是嗔恨心也比较大，就别烦恼的心，反正是各个人有不同的情况，反正是烦恼的心很强烈，很大。但是你学了空性之后，接触了空性的这个法门之后呢，你。对空性做了闻思修之后，你的烦恼越来越减少，越来越弱的话，哦，你的方向最起码你的方向是对的。
So Lama Tsongkhapa says very clearly, you know, how do you know you have actually understood the right view of emptiness, or are you just kind of, you know, pretending, or, you know, you just have an intellectual understanding? You can tell that if your afflictions are slowly getting weaker and reduced.After you have studied and contemplated and meditated on the teachings on emptiness. So maybe in the past you had a lot of attachment or arrogance or anger, but you find that after you've, you know, learned these teachings on emptiness and have familiarized yourself with them and practiced them, your afflictions are actually diminished. You for sure know you are at least going in the right direction.
Thank you. Venerable, what is the most important lesson that Theravada can learn from Tibetan Buddhists, and what is the most important lesson that Tibetan Buddhists can learn from Theravada?
Oh, thank you. 这个我懂了。其实，佛教的就是整个系统来说吧，或者是假如我们注意到佛法的整个方面的内容的话，也可以这么说，宗喀巴大师他所解释的这个，意思的状态来看的话，其实提拉瓦蒂就是南传吧，南传平常说南传吧，南传也好，汉传也好，反正是菩萨城的那个部分也好，三藏也好。菩萨城也好，三乘也好，显宗密宗也好，这些都是可以说是一体，一个人来说，他的就是他的身体就是总体，他的身体的一个完整的部分，整体不是身体是应该是一个完整的一个怎么说，需要一个完整的，不是只有几个部分而就完美的，而可以是怎么说，具足的，
So when we talk about different Buddhist systems, or even like the overall meaning of what the Buddha taught, the Buddha Dharma, Lama Tsongkhapa says very clearly that, you know, whatever we are dividing now into like the Theravada or the, you know, southern transmission of teachings, or what we call the Chinese tradition, right, the fundamental vehicle, the Bodhisattva vehicle, all these different vehicles, and what we are calling the explicit teachings, esoteric teachings, these are actually all one body. You know, they're all part of the same Buddha Dharma. The analogy that Rinpoche is giving is like, it's like of a physical body. You can't say you have a body if you just have a few parts. Yeah, it's all these aspects are required for the full body of teachings to function properly.
所以说呢，在社会当中，不同的社会当中，弘扬下去的时候呢。 各个不同的创派嘛，各个不同的就是派，对系派，传承者，就是传承的人，或者是出家人，各个都有，各个好像各个都比较重视的。 对象吧，或者是重视的部分，稍微有我们现在以表面上看的时候呢，有不同的样子。以这个角度来说的话。
So, of course, when Buddha Dharma was transmitted to different societies and it interacted with different cultures, and then you have the development of different schools led by practitioners who put an emphasis on different aspects of the teachings. And so, based on this kind of external appearance, it looks like there are differences, right? Where a particular practitioner emphasizes a particular aspect of the Buddha Dharma.
信徒明白，或者是西藏的那些佛教徒，向着南传学的是，比如说在南传那里，的是就是修戒律的部分是比较，就是原本的难的。释迦牟尼佛在人世的时候呢，他怎么做？怎么吃饭吧？对对，怎么吃饭？ 怎么去，就是讨饭，怎么说？讨饭吗？乞食，你怎么乞食？怎么穿衣服的？就是每一天要怎么做的？这些都，好像南传当中呢，原原本本的维持着佛的在外面这个世界上怎么做的，这些都维持的样子。西藏那里虽然很尊敬。 特别是宗大来说，他想要恢复吧，他想要，他想要在佛释迦牟尼佛导师释迦牟尼佛，佛的时候，出家人民怎么过生活的那样的方式，他想在西藏的地方要。可以说是恢复吗？不是恢复，复兴，对。也实际上也复兴了的那个时候。但是呢，从西藏总体来说的话，这个方面呢，有点衰退的样子。比较重视就是说，只要在念心上修菩提心，只要念心上修密宗，就念心重要，在戒律的这些。 释迦牟尼佛当时怎么做的那些原原本本的那个状态是有点忽略的样子，所以说这个是我想向着南传，该学的一个部分，就我看到的是一个部分是这个。
So one aspect that I think that Tibetan Buddhist practitioners can learn from, say, the Theravada tradition is very much the Vinaya. It appears to me that the Vinaya has been preserved in the Theravada tradition in terms of how things were done in the Buddhist time, how monastics wore their robes, how they went on alms round, how they were supposed to eat. And of course, Lama Tsongkhapa himself was a Vinaya reviver, and he very much wanted to revive these practices in Tibet and was successful in doing so. I think nowadays, sometimes that, you know, the aspect of the observation of the Vinaya has declined in the Tibetan tradition. And there's a lot more emphasis on, you know, having a bodhicitta motivation and inner cultivation. But I think there's a lot we can learn from the Theravada tradition in terms of how the Vinaya is upheld, especially how it was established in the Buddhist time and was transmitted in that way.
所以说呢，在西藏的怎么说大福音的寺庙，特别是宗大师的传承来说的话，所谓的怎么说，任务是自己是宗大师的传承的所有的寺庙里面，假如你还俗了，或者是怎么说，无法守护自己的戒律的话。 必须要离开寺庙，不可以带着跟出家人一起的，出家人的这个怎么圈子里面，要怎么向着出家人或者是主持，请辞嘛，辞掉，怎么说，一下子想不出来名字的样子，反正必须要退寺庙，主请在主持面前或者自己的上师面前去那里，
So I think in most Tibetan Buddhist monasteries, especially those following the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa, it's very important that if someone has given back their monastic vows or they're unable to uphold them well, they should go to the abbot or to their teacher and formally take their leave and say that, you know, I'm no longer a monastic, and not remain within the Sangha and to, you know, continue to mix with the monastics. If you don't keep your precepts well or you have disrobed, you should give back your vows formally and leave.
很重视纪律的。
Yeah, so it's very important that in the monasteries that we have this emphasis on the keeping the Vinaya well, because it is our primary emphasis and the foundation of what we practice.
当然，也有我不知道的，还有别的像南传学的很多东西。 可以有的，肯定有，肯定有吧。那别的呢，就南传的信徒们向西藏的传统学的部分呢，我自己认为是啊，是不是如实我不知道。我自己认为是认为的是，学习的方面，学很广的，很广的思维，就很广的串习，就是这个部分，比如说。 很多年学佛经啊，就是教师们一直在怎么说，解说这个佛经，然后呢，学生们跟着师父学习啊，就是很多年学着修着，就这样，这样的方式的部分，还有呢，比如说在西藏那里来说的话，虽然不只是学佛法。 比如说佛法的重点之中，四圣谛啊，十二缘起啊，八圣道，帕朗伊拉杰，不是八圣道支吧，上师七菩提分法等等，这些都不只是解说，为什么要修上师七菩提分法，为什么是空，为什么要取四圣谛，什么是苦谛。 它的定义是什么？学它有什么用？等等的这些，以推理的方式来，以阴明的方式来去学习。还有呢，以唯识的部分去寻找佛的密意，以中观的方式来去寻找佛的密意，等等等等等等。这些方面呢，怎么说？比如说阴明的部分，法成法师的那个密。 英明的那个根本律，很多人都背诵它，然后呢，就好多年都学着它的内容，就这样的方式来去学佛法的这个方式也，我觉得值得，或不只是值得，该那么学的样子，我觉得。
So of course there are many other aspects of the Theravada tradition that Tibetan Buddhist monastics can learn from. That's just one that I've pointed out. And then in my personal view, what the Theravada tradition might be able to learn from the Tibetan tradition. This is just how things appear to me. It's my personal view. It seems to me that in the Theravada tradition, people could benefit from much more extensive study in terms of hearing, contemplating, and meditating on the Buddhist treatises in a very extensive way. So spending many years of study with a teacher who is dedicated to explaining commentaries, you know, or the sutras in great detail, in that way familiarizing yourself with what is taught in those texts. And not only that, not just to understand the Buddha Dharma in terms of what are the four truths, the 12 links of dependent origination, the eight Noble Eightfold Path, the 37 Harmonies with Awakening, not just understanding, you know, what are these terms, why should we practice them, what is their definition, but actually understanding them through a process of logic and reasoning. And so that's why the Tibetan Buddhist monastics will memorize the commentary on valid cognition by Dharmakirti, because that teaches us the methods for using logic and epistemology to actually prove these teachings by the Buddha and to actually realize them in our minds.
Thank you, Rinpoche, and I think we both have found that, I think we both very much agree and have found study increasingly helpful in our lives, and really just appreciate your pointing to that as well. In terms of the embodying these teachings, you've lived with His Holiness the Dalai Lama or worked with him for many years, and we wondered if you had a few stories of kindness which you've seen him embody, or any kind of regular things or habits you've seen in his daily life and practice that have been especially inspiring to you.
就是先感谢仁波切，对，有指出这一点，我们两位也是在修学佛法当中比较广泛的学习，觉得很受到很大的利益。那现在我们就谈到要怎么在日常生活中显现我们所学的法义，所以也知道仁波切是尊者的秘书侍者，对吗？就透过你跟尊者互动的整个过程，有看到他是怎么在日常生活中的什么细节啊，还是可能可以分享他怎么就是显现他的仁慈心的一些典故，给我们一些启发。
这个方面呢，在我的心目当中吧，想提的，榜样吗？可以这么说吗？想提的，内容有点多，但是呢，我想指出来几个一两个，榜样吗？可以这么说吗？
可以啊，
可以吗？
楷范、模范、
模范，对，模范一两个模范吧，不知道是有没有恰当。会不会恰当我不知道，反正是在尊者旁边，零八年开始在他那里当做侍者吧，从此以后但自然而然的有很多机会接见尊者的比一般人多，自然而然多接触他的机会更多，所以说呢，在那个过程当中呢，我自己怎么说，察觉出来的就是尊者的他的做法，或者是他的想法，或者是他的身口意的，就是行为吧，在待着他的旁边的时候呢。有时候我觉得他的行为就是佛经，虽然可以说嘴巴嘛，所以有没有不恭敬的我不知道，他的虽然他没有讲着佛法，但是呢能看得懂的话，就看着他的行为的时候呢，他的做法，他用餐的状况，他给人的态度，他与别人之间的交流的，他如何接触他人的那个方法， 看到这些的时候呢，我他的行为就是，完完整整的就显现出来了一个显现出来佛的教育，或者是入行论的那些内容。比如说，尊者他有意义的时候，他有意义的时候，或者不是，反正是他觉得有意义的时候，他就会跟别人讲话的，他就会跟别人接触的。接触的时候呢，就会该讲的会讲，不该讲的不会讲的。就讲完了这个该讲的这些话之后呢，他不会闲聊的。他完全没有，怎么说，聊天就是闲聊的这个习惯。去他那里，因为有某某事情，他叫我们上去的时候呢，就去他那里，然后呢，要做那个事情，为什么叫他旁身边的那个事情去做好？做好了之后呢，他就会说，就好了，然后呢，就要，意思就是说可以离开了，所以呢就要离开，在他的旁边就是那样的习惯。所以说呢，没有人怎么说最亲近他的，也没有人说最怎么说，最远跟他更远的，可以这么说，更远的，反正是就是菩萨的行为吧，菩萨的行为，在入行里面就说，蜂蜜吧，蜂蜜的那个蜂蜜吗？蜜蜂。
honey，
honey 是
蜂蜜
吧？那不是，蜜蜂是
bee，
对蜜吧？蜜蜂它就到处都飞
哦，
然后呢，它在花的那个中间叫什么？花的心间吗？站在那里，它在站在那里，它不是在那里玩吧？它只是想要取它要的那个甜品吧，取好了之后呢，他就飞走的，就如同那样，接触他人，在他人那里要取的那个有意义的那个事情，就怎么说，做好取出来，做完了就要离开，等等，这只是比喻而已啊，比喻而已，等等，比如说饮食的部分来说的话，也是必须12点之前要用完。等等，所以说呢，我觉得他就是活生生的一个佛经一样。
对不起，刚才我漏了一点，我先补充，然后再翻译。So I left out a point from the previous question about what Rinpoche also mentioned, what the Theravada practitioners can learn also is how through the study of mind only and middle way thought, we can begin to understand the Buddha's kind of true intention. So that's very important to pursue as well, in addition to understanding logic, epistemology, to realize what the Buddha taught through logic and reasoning. Yeah. Okay, so in relation to this question, there is so much in my heart that I am inspired by in terms of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. There's so much I could share in relation to this question, but I will just pick one or two things in this moment. So I have served as his attendant since 2008, and so because of that, I have a lot more opportunity than other people to kind of interact with His Holiness and to observe him up close. And I would say that his life is a living sutra. When I observe his activities of body, speech, and mind, it is a sutra brought to life. He doesn't have to speak in terms of the teaching. I just have to observe how he behaves when he eats, how he carries out his daily activities, how he's interacting with other people. For me, that is, it's always a teaching when I'm watching him. And especially that he does not ever engage in idle talk. He's very, very clear. Like if there's a purpose, then he'll reach out to speak to someone. And if there isn't, then he won't, you know. And so when we're called to meet with him, his purpose is very clear. We go and see him, and then we do what needs to be done, and then he'll say, all right, that's enough. Yeah, you can, meaning you can go. And so it's time to go. So there's no one who's especially close to His Holiness, and you can't say there's anyone who is very distant from His Holiness, you know, this kind of equanimity towards all. And also, so for me, he's an embodiment of Shantideva's text, the engaging in the Bodhisattva's deeds. There are so many things in that text that I see embodied in His Holiness's behavior. So like one example would be, there's a verse in the text about how a bee just draws nectar from a flower and then flies away. The bee doesn't hang out there and play around, you know, it just needs to do what it needs to do and it leaves. So in that way, that's how I see His Holiness's behavior. He does what it needs to be done with a clear purpose, and then that's it. Yeah, so in that way, I feel that His Holiness the Dalai Lama is a living example of the Buddha's teachings.
所以说呢，很多我觉得我自己觉得很多人都不懂尊者的。 像世间的方式来接触尊者，但是呢，尊者是他尊者就是他是怎么说？所以看的时候就是一人就跟我们一样，怎么说两倍说就一张脸吧，就是就是，但是呢，他的真正的尊者是就是法佛境，就是可以说是佛境。 所以说呢，他以世间的方式来想接触尊者的任何人，在接触尊者的时候呢，我觉得他们都会失败吧。<laughs> So
I would say a lot of people do not know who His Holiness the Dalai Lama truly is, because they're always trying to interact with Him in a very worldly way, you know, when you're trying to get at Him in a, with a worldly intention. But His Holiness the Dalai Lama is, you know, He appears like the rest of us. He has a face, He has two arms, but he's the embodiment of the Buddha Dharma. He is the Dharma, He is the Buddha. So if you try and relate to Him in this kind of ordinary worldly way, you are bound to fail.
Rinpoche, thank you so much. We are out of time, but we are so grateful. You are such a bright monk. So thank you so much, and we will look forward to hearing more teachings from you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. 很高兴这次能接触到南传的两位比丘，很高兴见到了怎么说，很怎么说。 2000年左右吧，也远离的，就是可以说是兄弟吗？不知道，就是去主，就是同一个老师的弟子，我们都是同一个老师的弟子，但是呢，我们因为地缘的关系吧，这以前是没有飞机，也没什么火车的，所以说呢，我们从释迦牟尼佛那里，就是远离了。 几千年之后，我们再能聚集在一起了，这个是很大的，多大的荣幸呢！
I'm so delighted to be able to meet the two bhikshus from the bhikkhus from the Theravada tradition. It is like a reunion of brothers who have been separated for 2,000 or more years, because we are all disciples of the same teacher, the Shakyamuni Buddha. But because of a result of geography, we've been separated all this time, also because there were no planes and trains. But today, thanks to the modern circumstances, we have been brought back together. So this is a really delightful reunion. Yeah, that we've known each other this whole time. And I'm so glad to be able to meet you here. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you.